He is going to be the youngest person executed in our state since the death penalty was reinstated in 1975. Men, women, and even a few children line the driveway leading to the gate of the compound. Flickering candlelight illuminates their sad or angry faces. They wave their signs and occasionally pound on the windows of our car, as if they are angry with us. I wonder briefly why they're mad at us when they don't even know why we're here. I'm squashed in the middle of the back seat with Lacey on one side and our old Sunday school teacher on the other. Not old as in age, but old as in she's not my Sunday school teacher anymore. It's because of her that Lacey and I are here, attending our first execution. I peer ahead as the gates swing open to let us through. There was a time when I hardly ever cried, but now it seems like anything can set me off and the tears start to slide down my face again. I'm not embarrassed anymore because they've both seen me cry more than I care to admit. Lacey reaches over and takes my hand. I lean my head back on the headrest and close my eyes. To tell this story, I'm going to have to start with Lacey. And since it starts with me and Lacey and ends with me and Lacey, you're probably going to think that it's a story about me and Lacey. But you're wrong. It's not. Not really. But I can't just jump into what the story is about. I have to start at the beginning, and that does mean starting with Lacey. I've known her ever since we were in preschool, and I remember hiding under the stairs with her and tasting Play-Doh. I realize that this sounds disgusting, but I'm going to have to be completely honest with you if anything good is going to come out of recalling this story. Telling this story is the most difficult thing I've ever had to do. And if nothing good is going to come of it, then I'd just as soon not go through with it at all. Anyway, I remember hiding under the stairs and tasting Play-Doh with Lacey. If you ask most grown-ups, they'll admit to tasting it too. That makes it especially disgusting when you think how many other kids had probably tasted it before we got to it. But for some reason, this is my earliest memory of me and Lacey together. Lacey was, and still is, very pretty. I think I have probably always realized this, even before I was old enough to be interested in girls, but Lacey has never been worried about her looks. Instead, Lacey has always worried about other people. When she was 4 years old, her mother was watching a talk show on TV, and it featured people who were cutting their hair off and sending it to Locks of Love to be made into wigs for children who, for various medical reasons, did not have any hair. 4-year-old Lacey apparently took one look at a little girl on that show, who had no hair, made the giant mental leap that she could help, and insisted that her mother help her cut off her long, pretty brown hair so that they could send it to Locks of Love. She still has the little thank you card that they sent her in return. I don't remember any of this, but I'm told that the next day she showed up at preschool, and I thought we had a new boy in class. When Mom picked me up that afternoon, the preschool teacher told her, "David really freaked out today." Apparently, even after the teacher calmed me down, I refused to have anything to do with Lacey, and I never hid under the stairs with her and tasted Play-Doh again. Like I said, I have no memory of this, but my mother thinks the story is quite funny, and she's told it so many times that I figure it must be true. I do remember, though, in the second grade, telling Lacey that I liked her hair long. She had grown it back and it was cascading down past her shoulder blades. She smiled at me and said, "Thank you, David." But apparently she didn't care too much what I thought because she whacked it all off again a few weeks later. Evidently, Lacey thought that her head was a hair farm. It had grown out long again by the time we were in fifth grade. In addition to preschool and elementary school, Lacey and I went to church together too. One day in Sunday school, our teacher was talking to us about the importance of giving. One of the students had said that what Lacey was doing, growing her hair out and donating it, was another way of giving to others. The teacher thought this was an excellent point, but I didn't agree. "Why on earth not, David?" the teacher wanted to know. "Because," I explained, "it says in the Bible that when you give to the needy, you're not even supposed to let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You're supposed to give in secret." The teacher looked surprised. She probably thought I never paid attention during lessons. "You're only supposed to let God know what you're doing," I went on. "Everybody knows what she's doing." "Well, I suppose that technically you're correct, David," the teacher said. But what Lacey's doing is kind and very giving, and there's really no way for her to do it in secret. That's not true, I argued. She doesn't have to cut it so short and make herself look like a boy. She's just doing it so everyone will know that she's giving it to Locks of Love. She could get her hair cut shorter in a way that looks nice. And I glared at her as I emphasized the word nice. And then people would just think that she had a haircut. No one would even have to know what she did with it after it was all cut off. I don't remember what the teacher said to me, but I do remember that Lacey looked down at her hands, which were folded in her lap. I felt a little twinge of guilt, but not much. And for some reason, I felt quite proud of myself when she came to school a few months later with her hair in a short, but feminine, bob. By the time Greg arrived in town, Lacey and I were pretty much friends. I don't mean that we hung around together or anything, but we saw each other all the time, either in class or church or something. And I figured she had forgiven me for freaking out in preschool and for being mean to her in fifth grade. One time, I even thought she might have been flirting with me when she asked me to help her with her locker because it popped right open on my first try. I told myself it was probably just a lucky break.